Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Yud Zayin in Makos. We're back on Zayin Amud Aleph, and we're going to finish up this morning the topic of Bidlo Velo Bidlukim Velo Kiyem, and continue on in Makos and hopefully make up some ground today. Daf Yud Ches are short, so we'll have an opportunity to make up some ground. We're in the middle of one of the more exciting topics in the third parak of Makos, and that's the topic of lav ani tak la'aseh. The general principle is that when there's a lav, when there's a negative violation of the Torah, and then the Torah gives me a remedy, a way to rectify it, so this is what we call lav ani tak la'aseh. And such a lav, you don't get Makos, you don't get lashes for it. The fundamental question that comes up in regard to lav ani tak la'aseh, and that is, what if you fail to do the aseh? Right, so are you going to get Malchus then? So principally the answer is yeah, if you fail to do the essay, you're going to get Malchus. When? When exactly are you going to get Malchus? So there's two opinions in the Gemara. It's really an ambiguity in a Braisa, which then turns into two opinions amongst the Amoraim between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan is of the opinion that it's bitlu v'lo bitlu. Rav Yochanan subscribes to the view that when is it that you're going to get Malchus even on a lav ani tak la'aseh, that's when you make yourself ineligible to do the assay anymore. Right? If you feel that if you fail to do the mitzvah assay, not just fail, but just make it so that you can't do the mitzvah assay anymore, so then and only then you're going to get Malchus. That is the opinion of Rav Yochanan, and that is what we call in the Gemara terminology bidlo v'lo bidlo. Okay, he was mevatel. He made himself ineligible. He said, "Forget it." Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish is of the opinion that's kimu v'lo kimu. Kimu v'lo kimu. Oh, thank you. Kimu v'lo kimu is that you have to do the assay the first moment that you have the opportunity. If you don't do the assay, then you wait, you hesitate. So then you're going to get Malchus. That's Reish Lakish's kimu v'lo kimu. As some asked me yesterday, according to Reish Lakish, can you get multiple sets of Malchus, meaning, you know, you wait and you keep waiting and you keep waiting? I mean, presumably the answer is no, but it's still, in theory, it's fair to try to understand better what Reish Lakish's position of how this assay works. But okay.
And when you say assay, the assay that's going to undo the love?
The assay that's going to undo.
It's just
It's just we're talking about specifically the assay that's going to undo the love. Okay? That's my machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan. We go like Rav Yochanan, we hold like bidlu v'lo bidlu, right? And most machlokes, we go like bidlu v'lo bidlu. We're found on Tezayin Amud Aleph, and we're halfway down the page, and we are starting with the words Tanan. It's the last short line on the page. We learned in a Mishnah. We will learn in a Mishnah later on this morning. We get a sneak preview of the Mishnah. Hanotel Eim Al Habanim. Right, classic mitzvah. Gemara Chulin talks about it at length. The mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen. You have a nest of birds. You want to take the eggs or the young chicks. So the Torah gives us instruction, Shalech to Shalech to Shalach es Eim. So you have to send away the mother bird. Okay, the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKen, sending away the mother bird. So we're learning Malchus right now. So we're interested in only one aspect of the mitzvah, and that's the aspect of Malchus. So, Tanan Hasan, we learned in the Mishnah, Anota Emel Abanim, if you take the mother, Al Habanim, while the children are still there. Okay, so you just made an oops, you made a boo-boo.
Is this like a mitzvah you have to do?
No.
You don't make that usually when the mitzvah comes to you, you have to do
correct,
it.
Correct.
You don't want to meet once in teen, like the guy.
Oh, there? Yeah?
Right.
Gemara and Chul, it's been a while. We're going to come back to Chulin shortly enough. But the Gemara and Chulin discusses this mitzvah in detail. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
You don't have to do it.
I don't remember. Right, right.
You did what Phil said, we bow, I am.
No.
What do you mean? All right. Okay. So fine. Possibly that's behind the mitzvah. But again, that's okay. Fine. So Hanotel Emal Banim Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lokev Ena Mashalim. So if you take Emal Banim, Rabbi Yehuda says Lokev Ena Mashalim. So I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. Veina mishaleach. All right, so you're going to get malchus according to Rav Yehuda. The chachamim omrim mishaleach ve'eino loke. And the chachamim say, no mishaleach, no, send it away. And you're not going to get malchus, meaning you can undo what you did. So you did something which you shouldn't have done. You took the mother bird. Even though the chicks were there, the eggs were there. You shouldn't have done that. So, okay, fine. So you have an opportunity to undo, and that is by sending away the mother bird. And says the Mishnah Makos, which we'll see later this morning, Eino loke, you don't get Makos. In fact, now the Mishnah says it, Zeh HaKlal. Kol mitzvos lo saseh sheish ba kumaseh, ein chayavin alaha. This is still part of the Mishnah. Anytime you have a mitzvah lo saseh, followed with a kumaseh, if there's a way to undo that which you did, so you're not going to get Makos, ein chayavin, you don't get Makos. Fine. We have learned now successfully a Mishnah in Makos. Next step. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lanu ela zos ve'od acheres. Rav Yochanan says there's only one other example that matches the example of Shiluach HaKen. Now, look at Rashi over here. Rashi clarifies exactly what the point is being made in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yochanan ein lanu. We are in Rashi. Rashi is a little bit further down where we are on the page, on the right hand side. Klamar. Mishalech vein aloke haloshalach loke. Right? If you don't send away the mother bird, you're going to get malchus. Right? Rav Yochanan bitlu velo bitlu islay. Now, Rashi reminds us. Right? This is, I prefaced this morning, reminding ourselves. Rav Yochanan subscribes to bitlu velo bitlu. According to Rav Yochanan, you're only going to get a malchus on a lav anitak la'aseh only if you make it impossible to do the aseh. Right? That's Rav Yochanan shita, and we're learning Rav Yochanan right now. So we're in the world of Rav Yochanan. Umash malei mishalech diktani mishalech lechishirtsa ve'ein olokeh ve'ein masehu olokeh. According to Rav Yochanan, when are you ever going to get malchus on not sending away the mother bird? And the answer is when you can't send away the mother bird. What are you going to have to do?
No,
you took the mother bird. You shouldn't have. So now you're going to send it away. So what are you going to do? So kishiyah hargena. So Rashi says very simply, you'll kill the mother bird. Oh, okay, good. Now what you did, so you took the mother bird, which you shouldn't have done. Now you violate a lav, okay? According to Rav Yochanan, bilu velo bilu, which means that you will get malchus when it's no longer able, when you're no longer able to fulfill the aseh. The mitzvah aseh right now is shalech to shalech esayim, send away the mother bird, right? When are you going to get malchus? When you can't send away the mother bird anymore. Example, says Rashi, you kill the mother bird. Kishi argeno, v'yivatel saseh b'yadayim, v'hainu dekamar. Now that we got to this point, now Rashi says, now we're going to understand the next part of Rav Yochanan's statement. In the world of lav hanitak laseh, there's only one other case study, one other example that will mimic itself like this. Hainu dekamar ein lanu ela klamar, alfa gav diktani masnisun zeha klal. Then Rashi points out the Mishnah is a little misleading. It sounds like we're giving a very global principle over here. Rashi says, no, we're not. The Gemara says it. Rashi's just explaining. No, we're not. There's only one other example. The mashma kol mitzvos lo saseh sheish ba kumaseh shavlazu anu ein lanu bekulon shavlazu sheipato amakos tali bekimaseh ela ela bein kiyim bein lo kiyim pater ela zu ve'od acheres. There's only one other example. Okay, we're going to search for that one other example. And what's the problem? Meaning, this sounds like a phenomenal global rule. The problem is that by all the other lav anitak laseh, you're not going to have this case of bitlu velo bitlu. Meaning that here in the sending away of the mother bird, we can get to the case of being mevatel. I'm no longer able to do the aseh. By the case of the mother bird, I kill it. I kill the mother bird. Okay. In all of the other lav anitak laseh, and I told you there's about a half dozen, there's not that many. In all the other lav anitak laseh, you're never going to get to the point of bitlu velo bitlu. Now, Reish Lakish, let me just make sure that we all understand this a little bit better. Reish Lakish would never have a problem with this. Because according to Reish Lakish, it's kiyum v'lo kiyum. According to Reish Lakish, if you hesitate in not fulfilling the aseh, you're going to get malchus. So from Reish Lakish's standpoint, he doesn't have to worry about concocting a case where I lose my potential, because all I need to do is just simply delay, and that's it, you're going to get malchus. So Reish Lakish doesn't have this issue. Rav Yochanan will have this issue because he subscribes to bitlu v'lo bitlu, which means that there has to be a way in which you have the mitzvah saseh and then you lost your ability to get rid of the mitzvah saseh. So right now, those there are two mitzvahs like that. One we know, shiluach haken. Two, what's number two? Okay, so stay tuned. Yes, this suspense is killing me. So I skipped. So I'm Rav Yochanan Elanu Alazus Vardachar. So okay, so Rav Yochanan teased it. There's one other, and I'm a lay Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar, who was a chavrus of Rav Yochanan, says to Rav Yochanan, okay, suspense is killing me. All right, new. So what's the other mitzvah? So I'm a lay Rav Elazar Heicha. Where is it? I'm a lay. So Rav Yochanan says to Rav Elazar, that's homework. That's called homework. Go home and go do some study and work on it a little bit and find the other lav anitak laseh that falls under this category where you can be mevato. Nafak dak, so Rav Elazar goes out as instructed by his Rebbe and he investigates Vashkach the Tanya and he thinks he's got it. Okay? One shigirish im Yisrael who machzer ve'en aloke ve'im kohen who loke ve'eno machzer. Okay, the case of a man marrying his anusa. Man rapes a woman, as we discussed this case yesterday, so he has an obligation now to marry her, and he has a lav, he has negative prohibition, lo yuchal shacha kol yamav. Cannot send her away. We learned yesterday, this is a lav anitak la'aseh. Okay? Now, if you subscribe to the Reish Lakish Kimu V'lo Kimu, that's fine. Meaning, you'll divorce her, right? And you'll divorce her, and fine, right. In other words, there's a case of there would potentially be a case of malchus when you delay, right? So by the case of shiluach hakan, yeah, I know when you're going to get malchus when you're no longer able to send away the mother bird. The hainu, you killed it. What is the case by anusa? Okay, so the story goes as follows: man rapes a woman. Torah says he has to marry her. She agrees. He marries her. And then he says, I can't take it anymore. And he divorces her. So now, right now, he's in the middle of violating a law. He did violate a law by divorcing her. Now, what would be the scenario in which he's going to get malchus? Because remember, the Torah now says that he has a way of making it up by remarrying her. He's not a Kohen. We're talking about a Yisrael. He has a way of making it up by remarrying her. Now, what would be the scenario, according to Rav Yochanan, where he gets malchus? Now, don't say he kills her. because that's a capital crime. He's not going to get malchus.
She gets married.
Huh? But that's not... You see, that's interesting, and that's good, but that's not his bittul. We're looking for a case, you're right, by the way. If she gets married, so then he's no longer eligible. But we're looking, and I know it's very specific, we're looking for where he is mevato, right? In the case of Shiluach HaKen, he's mevato by him killing the bird. Here, what would be a scenario of him being mevato? You're right, by the way. I'm not sure why the Gemara doesn't, you know... But the Gemara is right. The Gemara is looking specifically for how he can be mevatalit. Okay, so good. So he's a Kohen, but that's fine. So he's a Kohen. He can't remarry her. So that.
But what if she refuses to marry him? She has that right.
Right, but we're looking. In other words, we're looking now for a scenario where there was an opportunity for him to do the aseh, and through his action, he's mevatal. Huh? He married someone else. He could still marry her. Well, we can't. We discussed this yesterday because his sister is also to him. Right.
Use the money for
Okay. it's good. We're doing exactly what Rav Yochanan's instructions were. Right. go figure it out. So heichem ishkachala. So the Gemara goes through a couple of suggestions. Either katle kamle b'derabamine. Okay, so he can kill her. So the Gemara says, no, that's not going to help because then it's kamle b'derabamine. He's not going to get malchus. I'm Rav Shimi mechuzanai. Kigon shekibla kigushim me'acher. All right. So how about this? How about he accepts kesef kedushin for her, meaning she appoints him as a shliach. And he accepts Kesef Kedushin for her. Okay, so a number of you suggested this. Like she marries another guy. But we want a case where he's instrumental in making her ineligible. Oh, so the Gemara says, okay, fine. So he'll serve as a shliach. Amar Rav, Isha Visa Shliach. Right, it shouldn't be Rav. Okay, good. It's Rava. Amar Rava. Isha Visa Shliach I kamevat lalei. Ilo Shavisa Shliach ko kamine velo klumi. So the Gemara says, look, if she appointed him as a shliach, he's just proxy. Right. You know, he's not doing anything himself. He's just doing what her wishes are. So that's on him doing it. And if he's doing it without being a shliach, well, he can't accept kesef kedushin for her unless he's appointed a shliach. So that's not going to work. Oh, so he makes a neder. That woman, I make it with by the strength of a neder, I will not marry her again. Now, nedarim, as you know, we've gone through it already in Seder Nashim. Nedarim, you could be made for. You could just simply absolve a neder. That's not, we're looking for something as permanent as death, right? Like by the bird, I kill the bird, that's it. No tchias amesim. We're not going to resurrect the bird. So by the woman, right, so killing her is not an option. So making a neder, but that's also not definitive. That doesn't. Even if it was publicly made, there's an opinion that says that you could be mefer, that you can go and have it absolved. Demadir la al das rabim. You do so al das rabim. Al das rabim means with the consent or with the agreement of the public. Right? In other words, and now you can't go, the public is, it's such an abstract concept. I can't go and ask the public to release me from the vow. In fact, that's the halacha. That if you make a neder al das rabim on the consent of the public, there's no afara. Visu leka vahaika. Okay, now.
Wait, one second.
Just give me a moment, let me just make sure I get the flow down. Okay, pause right now. So the Gemara now seems to have resolved that I'll give you your two cases where it's a lav ani tak lase, you violated the lav, you had the chance of doing the assay, and you made yourself ineligible or unable to do the assay. One case is shiluach haken. How did you make yourself unavailable to do the assay? You killed the bird. Two is divorcing your anusa. How did you make her ineligible? Neder adas rabin. Okay, good. Pause now. We're going to now field our way through the other lav ani tak lase, and we're going to wonder why these are the only two. You think right now, which is fun, because that's the way the Gemara makes it sound, like we've identified the two. Okay, you can tell by the way I'm setting it up, a little bit of foreshadow, right? Number two is not going to, we're going to hedge. I'm hedging a little bit because we're going to come back and we're going to question number two. Okay, but in the meantime, however, why aren't all the other lav ani tak lase able to fit into this model of, I did the violate the law, here's the assay, and I just simply knocked out the assay? Okay, so let's go through it. The ha'ika, gezel, derachmana amar lo sigzal ve'eshev zigzela. Mashkon derachmana amar lo savo abiso la'avot avoto. Hashev tashiv lo. Ha'avot kivo ha'shemesh. Okay, so the Gemara goes through two lama in taklases. Number one is the classic, gzela. I steal. That's a lav. Torah says, hey, shif is a gzela. Return that which you stole. That's the asay. It's a lav in taklases. Number two, taking collateral. You're not allowed to take collateral from someone who doesn't have anything. Or this is the last thing that he has. So, to go into his house and to take a piece of collateral, and this is the only thing that he has, so that you're not allowed to do. And what does the Torah say? And what if you do it? You're a lender, and you just can't stand that he owes you the money, and now you go into his house and you take it, and that's the last thing that he had, and you shouldn't have taken it. So the Torah says, Hashev Tashiv Lo. Return it to him.
What if he destroys the collateral?
Ah, so the Gemara now says, Umishkachala bikima velo kimu, ubila velo bidlu. And the Gemara says that if you're Reish Lakish, for sure you understand, kimu velo kimu, just simply, in other words, you delayed in giving it back to them. But even if you're Rav Yochanan, right, you can't come up with a case of bidlu velo bidlu? Of course you can, according to Rav Yochanan. A simple case would be where you destroyed it. You destroyed the item. By the mashkon, you destroy the mashkon. By the gzela, you destroyed it. Yes, it's true. You can make reimbursement. Hasam, and the Gemara says, "Kevan dechay v'tashlumim ein loke umashalim." So the Gemara says, "Ah, yeah, exactly." In other words, if you destroyed it, it's true. You're no longer able to do the mitzvah of the heshev zegzela. You're no longer able to do the mitzvah of hashev tashiv lo. That's true. But now you've incurred a financial liability. You now owe the money that you owe the money. So you can't fulfill the mitzvah, but you have now a chiyuv tashlumim. You have an obligation to pay. So, and we know you can't get malchus and pay. Right? You can't do both. So, en loka mashalim. Fine. So that's why it's a technicality, right? But that's why these two examples of lavadi taklase are not going to work, because ain't loke mishalim. Next, maskefla Rabbi Zera ha'ika mashkano shal ger umesa ger. The Gemara would like to try to, right, in very creatively, come up with a scenario where it is lavadi taklase. Let's say, for example, mashkano of a ger, right? So he has no family. So when he dies, that's it. And he dies, umesa ger. Now it's interesting, by the way, because you didn't kill the ger, and previously, right, the Gemara was looking for a scenario where you made it ineligible. So why the Gemara now is comfortable with this case where you didn't cause the death of the ger, he died on his own, I'm not sure, I'm not 100% sure, but anyway, haike mashkana shel ger, umesa ger, so hasam, so the Gemara says still, that's not a good case study. Why? Hasam gavra bar tashlumim hu v'shibuda degiru dekapaka. Look, in principle, you have a chiv tashlumim. You also have a debt. You have also incurred now a liability, a financial liability. It just happens to be now that there's nobody to pay. But in principle, it is an obligation of tashlumim. Okay, next. V'ha'ika peh derachman amalu sechala pa'as sadecha. Okay. Mitzvah Peah is another lavani taklase. Mitzvah Peah, I got to leave the corner of the field for the poor. So when I own my field, and I'm now, right, harvesting, I cannot harvest the entire field. A corner of the field has to be left. And if you don't leave a corner of the field, you violate a law. The law is called, Lo Sechala Pa'asadacha. La'ani v'la'ger ta'azov asam. Now, it's a lavani taklase. Because even after I harvested the entire field, I still have an opportunity to take a portion. How much? There's no shear min haTorah, right? The rabbis gave a shear. There's no shear for peah min haTorah, right? There's no minimum shear, there's no maximum shear. The Chachamim gave minimum. Right? Peah is one of the, right, the Devarim Shein Lahem shear. So, okay, forget shear right now. Shear is not our issue. Our issue is this is a lavani taklase, and we have now. So, if you harvested the whole field, you have a chance. Like give it to us over some. In fact, whether you are the Kimu V'Lokimu guy, Reish Lakish, or even if you're the Bidlo V'Lo Bidlo guy, Rav Yochanan, you're still going to be able to come up with a scenario of how it could be that you can be Mevatel. What would be the case? Did not. Mitzvah's Peah LaHafish Menakama. Okay, the best way to do the Mitzvah Peah is out in the field, meaning leaving an actual portion of the field for the Ani and have him come out to the field and take it from the land. LaHafish Menakama, Mafish Menahomrim. Okay, let's say you didn't do that. Let's say you harvested. So, okay, fine. Still, you have a chance to do the Mitzvah Peah. What if you brought it into your silo? Okay? So again, you didn't do the best mitzvah. Best mitzvah is to leave a portion of your land. You didn't do that. But still, the yield, the produce, there's still a mitzvah payah. Ashalom miruach. Mirchu. But what if you have now brought it into the silo and you leveled off the top? So in other words, now you know exactly how much you have. This is what's called miruach akri. What's so significant about that point in time? From that point forward, there's a chiyuv of chuma and maaser. You now have an obligation to give chuma and maaser. So now, it's just a technical issue. You still have the mitzvah of peah, but now you have another agricultural mitzvah of chuma and maaser. So, mirchu, maaser, venosin lo. Kid Rav Yishmael, venosin lo. So you take off chumas and maisos, and then you give it to the, and then you give the payah to the ani. The Gemara says, well, according to Rabbi Yishmael, af mashvish menaisa, even from the dough, meaning that you've neglected the mitzvah of payah, all the way to the point where you made dough. You ground up all the grain, you mixed it with water, you now made a dough. According to Rabbi Shmuel, you still have an opportunity. But still, according to Rabbi Shmuel, okay. But you ate it.
There's nothing left.
Okay, there's nothing left. So, when does the Gemara, we're looking now for the other case, the other case of Bidlo V'lo Bidlo, a payah. Peah would seem to be the perfect case. Because here you have a situation where I have the mitzvah of Peah and I consume the produce. So there's nothing left to do anymore. So now the Chachamim, with witnesses and with a warning, the Chachamim are going to come over and they're going to give Malkus.
You couldn't take the value of it and buy other produce?
Yeah, so that's interesting. It's so, right? I also found that to be fascinating. It does not become for you a tashlumim. There's no personal financial liability, even though you failed to give payout. And the Gemara doesn't spell that out, but that seems to be obvious. Okay. Now just leave it at that. See if it's a, right? Ella. Okay, so now that we've established that payah is also a really good example, so now we got to go back to our Rav Yochanan statement. Rav Yochanan says there are two cases in all the Labanim Taklas saying, I told you there's only a half dozen, but there are two cases where you have this case of bitlo v'lo bitlo. So number one, for sure, shiloh haken, and number two, so originally we identified it as divorcing your anusa, but now the Gemara says, but payah is pretty strong, payah is better. So, Ella, Zos Vodacheres, aha. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. So now, our two cases of Lavani Taklase, according to Rav Yochanan's Bilu Velo Bilu, is Shiloh HaKen and Peah. Okay, so let's go back now. But we have three, because we also talked about divorcing your Anusa. Ava Anus, lo. Dehe Chamin and Aldas Rabin, and lo. Farlo Dvar Rishos. Ava Dvar Mitzvah, Yesh lo Faro. So the Gemara says, you know what you were wrong about earlier? You assume that if you make a neder, there's no way of getting out of a neder. Neder al das rabim, there's no way of getting out. So the Gemara says, that's not true. That's not true. You can get out of it if there's a mitzvah component. Even if you make a neder al das rabim, if there's a mitzvah component, you can still get hafara. You can still abrogate the vow. I guess the idea is, the Gemara doesn't spell this out, and this is a little bit of me talking right now and a lot less Gemara talking right now. I guess the idea is that if there's a mitzvah opportunity, you can assume that the public is interested. I mean, the whole point of the Al Das Rabim is that I made it with the consent of the public, And now that's it, I'm stuck.
But the thing is, if somebody makes a neder like not to the mitzvah, that's not a valid neder to begin with. So he's actually like the, you know. Can somebody make a neder that I'm not going to come to him?
Right. To be mevatel a mitzvah. You're right. And that's a major discussion, but. Okay, so the Gemara is going to give a very good example of where we see this. So the Gemara gives the following example of where there was a mitzvah component. There was a Rebbe, and he was rough. He was too rough, right? He hit the kids, and he hit them too much. And Rav Acha decided, done, right? We're done with this Rebbe. And he made a neder al das rabim that this guy is not going to teach children anymore. Okay, he was too abusive. Problem was, okay, again, we don't know all the details to this case, so you know, but so it's, you know, obviously it's a very sensitive topic. But the problem was, he was a good Rebbe. He was aside from the fact that he was too abusive, but he was a good Rebbe. The kids came out knowing things. So Adre Vacha V'ahadre Ravina D'lo Ashkach D'dach Kavasei. So I guess he went for a little anger therapy, a little anger management classes, and Ravina lifted the neder, even though it was a neder das rabim, and even though generally speaking you can't lift it, but it was for the mitzvah of chinuch, of teaching kids of Talmud Torah. So Ravina went ahead and he lifted the ban. So you see here. Again, this is Al-Das Rabin, so... I'm sorry. Your question's a good one. Right? Yeah. Okay. So it's a fair question. So the... fine. So anyway, but he lifted it because there's a mitzvah element. Here also, if there's a mitzvah element, meaning you divorce your anusa and then you swore up and down, I'm never marrying her again, I'm making a neder to that effect. If there's a mitzvah element to it, it can be lifted, and that's why anusa is not going to be a good case study, and we're left only with two mitzvahs, lav ani tak la'aseh, which make for good case studies of bitlu v'lo bitlu, and that is the case of shiluch haken, we're sending away the mother bird. How are you going to be mevatel? Simply by killing the mother bird after you took it. And the case of peya. How are you mevatel? By simply consuming the payah. But the Kohen, though, it's not, you're right, in other words, you're going to get Malkus, but that's not bitlu. That's just simply because you're a Kohen, you can't marry her. We're looking for something, correct. We're looking for something where you're actively doing something to make it ineligible. Okay. Right, correct.
Can you please explain what bitlu below bitlu?
No, it's just how to explain the Braisa. Meaning the Braisa back on Yudal Amud Beis, sorry, Tezvav Amud Beis, had a somewhat of an ambiguity. And so Rav Yochanan says, when you learn the Braisa, the one place you should put the words bitlu, and in the second clause you should put the words lo bitlu, and that's why we, you know, from this point forward we kind of nicknamed it. It's called bitlu v'lo bitlu. But it's the words themselves are just simply the words that you're supposed to plug into the Braisa. That's all. It's not a... No, nothing. Okay. We are now continuing in the Gemara. Ha'ochel neveles v'shefer shkatzim v'ramasim, eating bugs. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Haiman da'achel b'nisa de be'kar v'malkin alei mishum sheretz asheretz ala aretz. Okay. These are the Gemaras. It's not a lot. It's just 10-15 lines of Gemara. These are the Gemaras that identify the prohibition, the negative prohibition of eating bugs. You go by your vegetables from the stores, so there's an obligation to check, how to check, what needs checking. That's your local Orthodox rabbi. That's your guide for all this. Or my good friend Rabbi Pesach Weitz, right, who's also our local Orthodox rabbi. But the OU, the start, everyone has their own opinion in terms of how to check. That's not us here in the Daf Yomi. We're just looking in, we're more global. We're just interested in knowing, right, where it is in the Torah do we find this prohibition of eating the bug. So Amar Rav Yehuda Haiman da'achel b'nisa de be'karva. So if you eat this worm that's found in some sort of lettuce, some sort of cabbage, malkinan lei, you get malchus. It's a negative prohibition. Mishum sheretz or sheretz al aretz. How da'achel b'nisa de be'karva? If you eat the b'nisa de be'karva, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Ha'hu da'acha beneath the debate. There was a guy who actually did it, but not Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda gave Malkus. Okay? The Gemara tells us the story. Why? I'm not 100% sure. Right? Halach lamaisa, I guess. The fact that Rav Yehuda was an Amora, and he gave Malkus. Maybe that's also part of the point. Fine. Amar Abaye, acha putisa loka arba. If you eat putisa, it's another type of insect. I don't know what it is. Right? Any good English translations for today? Huh?
Eel.
Okay. Acha putisa loka arba. So there are four sets of malchus. See Rashi. We're not going to go through this now. See Rashi. Rashi identifies the psukim that you're going to where to find it's four sets of malchus. Another point of interest, which we've discussed in the past, but we're in malchus, so let's make this point as well. It's possible. The Torah, generally speaking, attaches one lav for one action. Here, by eating one insect, there are four lavin, right? So there's that possibility of getting four sets of lashes. Now, the person who's going to get four sets of lashes is going to be really healthy, because we're going to learn later on in our perek that they make an umdana, they evaluate how much you can handle. So who's going to get now 160 minus four sets of lashes? Okay, that person's got to be very strong and very healthy. But But the point over here is that it's four lavin. Nemala, you eat an ant, loke chamesh, mishum sheretz ha-sheretz al-aretz. Tzira, some sort of flying insect, loke shesh, mishum sheretz ha-of. Fine. Okay, so up to five sets of lashes, six sets of lashes for eating various types of insects. Amar of Achai. Hamashes nekavav over mishum lo tishakso. Okay, as long as we're here in the world of shikutzim, so the Gemara now is going to talk about other violations of bal tishakso. Don't make yourself disgusting. Okay, so for example, let's say you really need to go to the bathroom and you hold it in. Not because you're in the car and you want to get to your point of destination, but just simply because I know I can wait. That's an isser. It's an isser los shaksu. Now, in the context of this Gemara, it sounds like it's an isser da'araisa. Because the Gemara is going over isser da'araisa, eating bugs, and isser da'araisa. It sounds like holding in, you need to go to the bathroom, is an isser da'araisa. Okay, not for now, but that in of itself is its own discussion. Amar Bibi Barabaya Haman Deshasi Bekana Du'umana Kavra Mishum Lo Tishakso. Eating, drinking the blood from the blood letter, also a violation of Bal Tishakso. Human blood is not usher to drink mina Torah. It's only rabbinically forbidden, but there still be another violation of Bal Tishakso. It's disgusting. And so therefore it's you might be violating Bal Tishakso. You are violating Bal Tishakso. Sorry. Amar Rav Baravuna Rithik Tishanamalim, Vevi Echad Chai Vishlamam Lechazayas Loke. Let's say you grind up nine ants and you bring in whole ant together with it. So Loke Vav. You're gonna get six sets of lashes. Hey Mishim Birya, five sets of lashes because you ate an entity, Vechem Mishim Kazayas Nevela, and also all these bugs were dead. I know the Gemara said chai previously. Chai just simply means whole, intact. Doesn't mean alive. And another set of malchus because you ate a kezais of nevela. Rava Amar Rav Yochanan Afilu Shnayim. Rava says you can get two. I'm sorry, Afilu Shnayim Vehu, two crushed bugs together with one bug that's intact. Rav Yosef Amar Afilu Echad Vehu. One and one crushed bug and one intact. Velo pligi habiravervi habizutre. There's no machlokas going on over here. We're just talking about different sizes. Meaning that if you can, right, you can get a really large bug. This is terribly disgusting. Grind it up, that really large bug. Add to it another bug that's intact. Eat it. So you're going to get your malchus for eating the whole intact bug, plus nevela as well. Right? Carcass of an animal.
Why does he get five sets for one?
Because we learned previously that for certain bugs, there are multiple sets of lashes. Right. Right? Okay.
It's possible that the Loisha Satsu and every of your hygienic needs is under the rubric of the Nishmata model.
Right? Correct.
It's possible that it's
Midoraisa. Correct. Absolutely correct. the discussion that we're showing him is like the malchus that you're getting is like malchus daraisa or okay, but achal tevel umaisa rishon amar rav. Okay, another lav that we learned about in our mishnah. We're still in that first mishnah of the third parak of malchus. Another lav is eating produce that is not tithed. In Eretz Yisrael, there are tithings. Chuma, Maister Rishon, Maister Sheni, Maister Ani, right? Systematically. Every year you have to, except for the Shemitah year, every year you need to take off Chuma, 2% of the Kohen. Every year you need to take Maister Rishon, 10% of the Levi. On the first, second, fourth, fifth year of the Shemitah cycle, your next 10% is called Maister Sheni. That has sanctity and has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. In years 3 and 6, it's Maaser Ani. 10%, the next 10% goes to the poor. Amar Rav, Achal Tevel Shel Maaser Ani Loke. So Rav says that even if you took off Truma, we're in the 3rd and 6th year right now. I mean, not now, currently. Well, what year are we in the Shemitah cycle? We're in number 2. Yeah, we're in the 2nd year. Okay? And if we are in year number 3, or if we were in year number 6, and I took off Truma, and I took off my Maaser Rishon, but I have not yet taken off Maaser Ani, and I ate it, Rav says Malchus. You're going to get Malchus. Keman ki aitana detanya. In fact, Amar Rav Yosi, Yachol lo yechai ve'la ala tevel shel ahur mimenu kol ikar, ahur mimenu Truma gedola ve'lo mimenu Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rishon ve'lo Maaser Sheni ve'afilo Maaser Ani, minayin tam alamar, lo sucha le'echol b'sha'arecha, Rav Yossi, based on a drasha, says that even if all you did not take off was Maaser Ani, but you successfully took all the other tithings off, you're still going to get Malchus. That is the opinion of Rav. Amar Rav Yosef, Kitanai. Rav Yosef suggests that this is a Machlokis Tanayim. Mishnah in Demai. Okay. Demai, the word actually means, what is this? Demai. Right? Demai. Right? During Rashi over here gives us a little history lesson based on the Gemara and Sota. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, he did a survey of all the Amoratsim living in Eretz Yisrael. It's the last Rashi on the page. Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shalach B'chol Gvul Yisrael V'ra. And after doing the survey, he learned, he realized that Ame Ha'aretz Chashudin Ala Ma'asros. That your Ame Ha'aretz, Amaratzim, are people that are Jews, full-fledged, full-blooded, right? Mother and father Jewish, just not careful about how they perform halacha. Amaratzim. And they found, after doing a little study throughout Eretz Yisrael, that they don't take off Ma'asros. Chutz Mitzuma Gedola. So they do take off Truma Gedola. Two reasons why they differentiate. Truma Gedola is, first of all, not a lot. It's 2%. Doesn't even have to be. It could be even less. So it's not a lot. So it doesn't bite into their yield. Number two, Truma, a Zar Shachal Truma, a non-Kohen eats Truma, is Chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. So you know what? Okay, we'll take off Truma. But that's it. We're not going to take off anything more. Okay, we're done. Amar Lehem LeYisrael. So now, when Rav Yochanan, after doing his survey, sees that the Amaratim don't take off Maaser, they don't take off Maaser Rishon, they don't take it off. So he sent them now out the following enactment called Demai. Amar Lehem LeYisrael Bini Kishem Shachuma Bemisa Kachatevel Bemisa. Amad v'tikein halokech me'ma'aretz yafish kol ha'masros u'me'akvan la'atzmo v'ochel. Now, he made the following enactment. You people, right, he's talking to the chaverim, to the group of people who are ready to listen, anytime you buy produce from an ma'aretz, you need to take off trumas and ma'asros. No, I'm sorry, not truma, sorry. You need to take off ma'asros. But here's the... Right, but even after you take off the maestros, you don't have to give it to a levi. Maaser Rishon, I'm reading the Rashi. Sharei Mutal Azarim, or Maaser Sheni Ochlo B'Yerushalayim, Mim Shnas Maaser Anihi, Nechelku Rabbi Elazar V'Chachamim V'Kamer Rabbi Elazar, Delomi Bayafrushim, Misafik Lo Tzarech Ela Afilu Kros Alav Hashem. V'lomar Meister Ani Yishal Krize Yeh B'tzfono O B'dromo Nami Lo Tzarech. As far as Meister Rishon is concerned, separate it. You don't have to give it to a lady.
What do you do with it?
You eat it. Now, I hope you're wondering what was the point, right? The point is so that the produce is no longer tevel, right? In the world of tithing of trumas and maisers, there are two components. One component is hafrasha, separation, and the second component is nesina, giving it to a kohen or to a levi. By the produce that's purchased from an am haaretz, so you're afraid that he didn't do hafrasha, so you do hafrasha. What about the nesina? That's a mamonos issue. That's monetary law. Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. If he's coming to you and he wants to take from you, the burden of proof is on him that Meister was not taken off. Okay, that's a very... I don't want to get too involved in this because we're a little bit off the course of the Gemara. Meister Sheni, you take it off, but you got to eat in Yerushalayim. Meister Ani, if it's the third and sixth year and you're buying the produce from the Am Haaretz, what do you do with it? So that is subject to a machlokus between the Tanayim, whether or not you even need to take off Meister Ani. Let's see this inside. Rabbi Lazar Omer, last two lines on the page. Ein tzarich lekros es hashem al Meister Ani shal demai. Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion, you don't even need to get involved in Meister Ani. In other words, take off your Meister Rishon, and that's it. Meister Ani, for demai, you don't even need to do it. And the Chachamim say, no, Kriyas Hashem. You have to identify Meister Ani, but that's it. Now, what is at the core of this debate between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim? So the Gemara says, I think I know. By not taking off Meister Ani from the produce, is it Tevel? Is it now, does that have the name of untithed produce? Perhaps the Gemara suggests this is the machlokas between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. Rav Elazar says, just forget about it. Don't worry about Meister Ani. Maybe he's of the opinion that it doesn't even make it tevel. While the Chachamim will say, no, Meister Ani, by not taking off Meister Ani, it makes it tevel. So this position of Rav, that if you don't take off Meister Ani, it's tevel and you're going to get malchus. So the Gemara says maybe that's a machlokas tanaim. Now I mentioned this to you in the past. I mentioned to you in the past, right? From Rav's perspective, he does not want to hear this, right? That my position is subject to a machlokas tanaim. Because remember, we've talked about this a lot. It pigeonholes you. It basically takes your position and it puts you in one Tana's camp. And over here, the wrong Tana, right? It puts Rav, it aligns Rav together with Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav doesn't want to hear from this. So the Gemara says, first of all, if that's really the issue between Rav Elazar and the Chachamim, why are we skirting around in the world of Demai where it's a Suffolk and I don't know? And just in other words, if it's such a basic machlokas, I want to hear the machlokas on the most basic level. If by failing to take off Meister Ani, is it tevel or is it not tevel? That's a really basic machlokas. I don't need to present it in the world of Demai because it confuses me. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Everyone subscribes to Rav's rule, it's tevel. If you don't take off Meister Ani, even though you took off everything else, it's tevel. The issue over here in Demai is the nature of the Am Haaretz. Does the Am Haaretz take off Meister Ani, yes or no? That's the machlokas between the Rav Elazar and the Chachamim. But as far as not taking it off, is it tevel? Yeah, it is. It's going to be tevel. So the Gemara separates the machlokas of Demai from Rav's position.
What's the difference between
Demai
and Tevel?
Tevel means you for sure know it was not tithed. For sure no. Demai means I don't know. I bought it from the Am Haaretz. He tells me he took it off. I don't know. It's a suffix.
Another question. How do they qualify somebody to be Ani? What's the definition of Ani?
Not an Ani. An Ani or an Am Haaretz?
No, Ani.
They had poverty line. They had a poverty line. Right, the Mishnayos talk about the when we did Pesachim in the 10th parak, we talked about this also. There's a poverty line of who is and who is not qualified to receive. Kama Yocham and Atevel Amar Abibi Amar Abishema Malakish Machlokis Bechita Vabekemach Tivrei Akol Kezayis. Okay, if you grind up the flour, in our Mishnah we learned the Machlokis Tanayim, a kernel of wheat. Okay, when it comes to an ant and you eat the ant, right, that small little bug, it's much less than a kezayis, but you're going to get malchus because it's a birya, it's an entity. What about a kernel of wheat? Rabbi Shimon says it's also a birya, and the Chachamim say no, it's not. A kernel of wheat is not a birya. An ant, a live creature, is a birya, but not a kernel of wheat. Okay, what if you grind up the wheat? So according to Rabbi, who quotes in the name of Reish Lakish, no more debate in our Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon now will tell you, you need a kezayis. Rabbi Yirmi Amar, Rabbi Shimon Malakish, kamachlokas bezu, kachmachlokas bezu. Rabbi Yirmiyah quotes in the name of Reish Lakish, still a machlokas. Meaning that according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it's wheat ground up, and you ate a little bit of wheat, you're going to get malchus. The Gemara says, what? Tanan. Amalem Rabbi Shimon, Iyatem Modim Li Bochel, Nemal Koshu Shu Chayav, Amalem Bifne Mimneshu Kibriyasa, Amalem Avchita Achaz Kibriyasa. Okay, if you look at the give and take back in the Mishnah, you see that even Rabbi Shimon, who we don't adopt Lahalacha, but even Rabbi Shimon subscribes to this basic idea that in order to get Malchus, it has to be an entity. It has to be a kernel of wheat. Right? Kchita in Kemachlo. But once you grind it up, it's no longer, it loses its identity as being an entity, and now the shear is a kezayis. Lidivreim kamalahu. So the Gemara says, Rav Shimon's not really tipping us off to what his opinion is. Lididiafilu kemachnami. Look, you want my opinion? Wheat ground up, even if it's ground up, you're gonna get malchus for the smallest amount that you eat. And, right? But you chachamim who disagree with me, but you tell me that eating an ant you're going to get malchus, so eating a kernel is not going to get malchus as well. And the chachamim's counter argument is, look, an ant is an entity because it's a live creature, so therefore even though it's smaller than a kezayis, but still, it's an entity of bifnei atzma, it's a birya. When it comes to a kernel of wheat, there's nothing special and significant about one kernel of wheat. Tanya kavasa de Rav Yirmiya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kolshu lamakos, lo aman kezayis, ela le'inyan karban. Right, we have a braisa that says that according to Rabbi Shimon, kolshu, when it comes to makos, any amount that you eat, you're going to be subject to makos. Okay. It's an inch, right, and this supports Rabbi Yirmiyah's understanding of Reish Lakish in terms of what is Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Just two things. Number one, obviously we don't possibly like Rabbi Shimon. In order to get malchus, you need to eat a kezayis. Okay? Point number one. Point number two, where does Rabbi Shimon get this from? That if I eat less than a kezayis, I'm going to be subject to Malkos, right? Shiur halacha Moshe Sinai. So how can Rabbi Shimon say that if you eat less than a kezayis, you're going to be subject to Malkos? And the answer can't be chatzi shiur. Wait, chatzi shiur asminatar. That can't be the answer, because the whole idea of chatzi shiur is that you're not going to get Malkos. So according to Rabbi Shimon, where does it come from? So Rashi writes, it's the last Rashi before the Mishnah, halacha Moshe Sinai. right. And that of course lends itself to the profound question: well, how can you have two opposing halacha l'moshe misina is going on over here? But I'm not going to have an answer to this question. I'm not going to have one. But in other words, right, in the world of machlokas, we deal with machlokas all the time. But now to have two opposing halacha l'moshe misina is, right, that's just, it's difficult to digest, it's difficult to process. But, I mean, that's what would come out according to that Rashi. Okay, good. Obviously, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow, we'll pick it up from the Mishnah on Yud Zayin.